All right, friends, it's time, it's time, it's time. Let us begin. Let's pray, and then I'll get going. My prayer is a hymn written by Charles Wesley. We have a ton of them. I think we sang one today, actually. Here we go. Come, O thou traveler unknown, whom still I hold but cannot see. My company before is gone, and I am left alone with thee. With thee all night I mean to stay and wrestle till the break of day. In vain thou strugglest to get free. I never will unloose my hold. Art thou the man that died for me? The secret of thy love unfold. Wrestling I will not let thee go till I thy name, thy nature know. Amen. Here's the difference between you and many other churches. This has nothing to do with the study. Is that in many other churches, Bible study time comes, and it's this eerie silence, as though nobody knows anybody. Not during Bible study, before I had to yell at you guys to be quiet. Like there's no yelling ever from the pastors because everybody just sits there. So it's such a blessing to come into a room and see it burning with energy. Beautiful. It's beautiful. So I always feel very upset that I have to quell that I have to quiet that, because you guys love each other, man. It's so true. It's so true. It's so true. So this is one difference between you and many other churches. So thank you for giving me that. Where do I start? I want to start, and I didn't want to do this, but I will. Last week, we didn't get to 2 points, and I want to say two very quick things about those 2 points. Last week, the two last points that we didn't get to about Israel's journey was, number 11 was on my sheet, was knowing what's on the other side, and the important note about maps. So what I said about in our Christian journey, the joy that we have in knowing what awaits us. I said that last week. Because the promised land is flowing with milk and honey, and we know that for a fact. And the joy of that should radiate in our hearts because of that promise. Because we know that's over there. We know of the throne. We know that the Lamb is going to be there. We know of the river that flows from it. We know of the gates and the pearls and the sapphires and the marriage feast. So the joy, that's why it's not just joyful because we have it now, but because we'll have it then too, most perfectly. So joy is our fuel, I wrote, because what awaits us, again, is here and not yet. The better land, the promised land, meant life with God in all things, with his people, doing his will, basking in his gifts. And my last point was, which has to do with today. Actually, my last point from last week has to do with all of the studies. And it's not worrying about maps. We love knowing what the next step is going to be. It's part of our culture, especially when we live in a culture that likes to plan things ahead of time. And planning is very good. But planning all of your steps is impossible. You can't plan everything. So in the Christian life, we try to map things exactly how it's going to go. And this is what it's going to look like. And these are the people who I'm going to see. And these are the people who I'm not going to see. And we try to plan it all out perfectly in a map. And that's not the way that it goes. Remember the first time we met, right? We know the end. And we know the beginning. But this here, who talked to me? Where's Marge flashing? What did you call this earlier today? Between the dashes. A lot of times we don't know what that looks like. Who has heard of that before? The between the dashes, right? So somebody is born in 1901. And then they die in, let's see, 1990. Long life. And that's what you see at a gravestone, right? So you just see this. And then this is real short, and there's not, it's not even worth words. It's just worth a dash. Huh, that's not a good way to think about it, right? So that's the Christian life. The Christian life. What are we doing with that dash? Let's keep pushing. We must be able to hold on to two things, that we don't have a nap, but we know what our destination is. That can feel very uneasy. So I put a quote from Exodus 40 on last week's sheet. Then the cloud of fire covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle, and Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the people of Israel would move. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they would not set out. For the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day and fire by night, and the sight in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout their journey. So what's the only thing, that's a long quote, but what's the only thing that Israel knew regarding movement? When would they move? Did they know where we're going? No. But that cloud is moving, so we're moving too. That's very much like Jesus. He's moving, we're moving. So that was last week. Thank you for letting me cover those two points. So we continue this week. And this this study is not chronological. Because last week we talked about the Exodus. This week we're talking about Jacob. Obviously, one comes before the other. So my purpose was not to have a chronological study, but it's to set a base, to set a foundation to where we're going. So the first week we talked kind of theoretically. Last week we talked about what it looked like for Israel to be distracted. That was one of last week's highlights. But then today, Jacob and the angel. Injured but whole. It's one of the strange stories in the Old Testament. Number one, why is Jacob on the way? Where is he going? Who's he going with? How's he getting there? Who's he following? Does he intend to go back to where he started? And whose idea was this? You can ask any of those questions anywhere you go, anywhere you travel. Those questions apply to you, including in your Christian journey. So let's give a little bit of background. You know this. Jacob went to find a wife. His dad told him, go. He found a wife and more. Leah and Rachel, daughters of Laban. Laban ties up Jacob for a few years. That's putting it easily. Jacob still prospers, though. But Jacob wants to go back home. Return to the land of your fathers and to your kindred, and I will be with you. God is saying, go. Don't stay put. Journey. Start to the land of Canaan. This is beautiful. This is said by Laban to Joseph. And now you have gone away because you longed greatly for your father's house. That's why you're on the way. That's why you're moving. Because you're longing for home. While Laban isn't looking, Jacob packs up everything and moves. But Jacob is fearful of his brother Esau, who he usurped. So you know the Esau story. I won't go too much into it. But this is very interesting, the story of the angel. If you have your Bibles, and I'm not going to ask you to read from your Bibles, because I have it here already, what you have. But we have Jacob leaves, and then Laban chases him. So there's that part of Scripture. Laban kisses his daughters goodbye, says, okay, you can go. And then Jacob has this moment. Sorry, Genesis has this moment where Jacob starts talking about Esau and thinking about Esau. Okay, now I'm going to have to put up with that guy, and what's that going to look like? And he does some wonderful things for reconciliation. We'll talk about that later. But then he ends up making it there. So Esau again. What's in the middle of the two Esau bits? So in the middle of this whole thing, it seems like it was just thrown in there. Because if this has a beautiful continuation, Esau to Esau, which we'll see. But then here, we have this wrestling. Laban gives everyone a kiss, waves them goodbye. But Jacob has to deal with another issue, his brother Esau. He's greatly afraid and distressed. That's right from Genesis, those words. He thinks his brother might kill him and his family. You remember the two scenes, right? The stew and then the arm scene, right? Putting his arm so his dad could feel it and give him the blessing. So he does two things. He prays and acts. So that first part is this right here. He prays, God, I am not worthy of your love. Protect me from Esau. Keep the promise you made to Abraham. Amen. But then he acts. He sends a fortune's worth of animals and gifts to Esau ahead of him, trying to appease his brother, that he thinks his brother is really upset. So between the praying and sending gifts and the actual encounter, he has this angelic experience, the middle of the trip encounter that changes him. His encounter with the angel happens in the middle of something that's already pretty dramatic. The scripture uses language here in this Esau story that isn't used in many stories, like talking about feelings and expectations and these thoughts that Jacob is having toward his life. So it's not just a part. I do want to get that last point in. It is not just a part of his journey, but a divine event inside of another divine event. So this reconciliation that goes on here, reconciliation does come from God. God's the actor. This wrestling also. So you put this thing inside this other thing. So here's the story. That same night, Jacob arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had, and Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket. And Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said, "What is your name?" And Jacob said, "Jacob." And he said, "Well, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and men and prevailed." And then Jacob asked in return, "What is your name?" The angel says, "Why do you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the people of Israel do not eat the sinew of the thigh that is in the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip on the sinew of his thigh. I'm going to go back to this painting here on the bottom of this page, but that's one depiction of the wrestling. Wounds. Now, this is us. Everyone has them. And that is my assumption this morning. Another assumption is, if you don't have them, you will. It's not wise, and I want to emphasize this point today. It's not wise to delve too deeply into asking if my wounds are like Jacob's. Is God inflicting this wound on me? So no theodicy this morning, please. My point today is that Jacob is wounded and he is moving. My point today is not necessarily to say, is my wound divine? Did God himself come down and inflict me with this? Not my job today. My job today is talking about traveling after or during an experience of being deeply wounded and not stopping. I could stop right now. That's my whole Bible study for today. Moving while realizing that this is not the end. That no matter how you've been hurt, there's still things ahead. There's still blessings. There's still promises for Jacob and for you. And that's not my promise. That's Jesus himself. So what I do want to work with is this. While on the way, we often grapple with things that have lasting marks on us. Okay, I'm gonna draw a line in the sand here. I'm not sure I feel too comfortable doing it, but I will. Today, I'm focusing on wounds that you have received while on the way. Not while you were out there doing other things. Wounds that you have received while you were holding on to Jesus Christ himself's hand. Because that's what happened to Jacob. That's Jacob's story. I'm not necessarily today talking about things that happened to you before you came to the church, as tragic as those things were. But wounds that still touch you and hurt that happened here, because that is the most powerful thing in the Christian life and in Jacob's life, is that this guy's wounded for life, and what did he not do? He did not stop, and he did not leave. That's the line, right? And he rose up limping because of his hip. Let's go. So number five, no wounds, no wounds, no wounds. Two basic categories. Either you're too young. One hasn't had many hard knocks yet. Youth brings vigor. Whereas a fall would hurt a much more older person. For a younger person, it's nothing more than a scrape. A flesh wound, if you catch the reference. Or the other side, you've been anesthetized. One has had so many wounds that one more goes unnoticed. A broken person with so many wounds that one more or one less can do no harm because his or her suffering has gone unattended. In both cases, preparation and training are necessary. But of course, there is only so much you can prepare for. That's why I talked about the map today. We don't have a map, in a way. In the first case, you never really recognize the hit, or you might later, or it hasn't hurt you yet. In the second case, the hit could have left you in shock, and then another hit came and another one so quickly after that you never had time to get up from the first one. So you're still wounded, but you're in a daze. And the other category is you haven't yet. But it happens. Peter talks about it. We're going through 1 Peter today, this Easter season. You ladies that were at men's Bible study forever, I mean women's Bible study, forever ago. I keep thinking of that study every time, every Sunday, because of the readings from 1 Peter that come Sunday after Sunday. And Peter talks a lot about that, about the suffering on the way. If it hasn't coming, it's coming. Point six, types of wounds. Now that you have it, what do you do? How did you get your limp? Emotional, mental, physical. Recognizing that you are not the supreme agent in your life. That's all Jacob. Right? Jacob is saying, man, I don't run the show. I didn't want this to happen. I'm broken now, physically, in his case. And some wounds are easier to hide than others. Jacob's was impossible to hide. And some of ours is too. A lot of times when our wounds are physical, they're very easy for people to see, just like Jacob. But sometimes when our own wounds are deeper within, we choose to keep them in. Some wounds are easier to hide. Everyone knows how he got it. In his case, he contended and struggled. And then the tears we carry on the way, the tears because of these wounds. I want to come back to that later. But this loneliness, this is what I want to dig in a little deeper. No one saw Jacob struggle. No one saw him getting hurt. We read that. He told everybody to go. Go, and I'm going to stay right here. When we're wounded in this way, we carry our wounds in secret. No one can know I suffer like this. No one else knows what this is like except me. How many times have you said that? That's alienation. And there's no alienation on the way. Because remember, everybody's walking together on the same way. And when we choose to alienate ourselves that way, that's harmful, toxic. When we say, nobody knows what I'm going through. And I am talking to you. I'm not talking to folks outside the church. I'm talking to you. Who are saying, nobody knows what this is like. No one know I can suffer. No one can know I suffer like this. That night, I couldn't sleep, and I had an all-night wrestling match with God. A lot of you shouldn't haves, and why did I's. Am I not good enough? Am I loved? Am I valued? Real struggles. These are real struggles. This is not me petting egos or me saying, just get up and go. Or me saying, feel better. This is a recognition of the wounds that happen on the way. I do want to keep basing this biblically. I don't want this to be a psychology session. I want us to put our feet on the ground and say, these are actually real things that happen to Christians. and real feelings. Right? Feelings aren't always trustworthy, but they are real. Right? We actually do feel them. Struggles that force you to see that in fact, sorry, let me read that again. Struggles that force you to see that you are in fact valued. That was Jacob. At the end, he comes out blessed. And your worth comes from Christ's own name having been put on you. So begin there. When you say, I'm not good enough, I'm not loved, I'm not valued, your starting point should always be, but I carry Jesus' name, don't I? And that wasn't a gift for free. A lot was spilled for me to have that on me. And that needs to be your number one starting point. Wait a minute, I am blessed. And that takes work to get out of your wound, to get out of your hole and say, man, oh man, the Son of God put his name on me. It can't start anywhere else. That's the beauty of the extra nos, the outside of us theology that we hold so dearly in our church. That it does not matter how well you are feeling, Jesus' hands and feet were still pierced for you, regardless of your wound and how your wound makes you feel. He is so above that that we so easily forget. That objectivity is so it's just a strange line. That objectivity is so comforting. Because we want subjectivity to be comforting. We want, is it speaking to me? Is it hugging me? Is it me? Is it coming to what I'm feeling? Is it, and if it's just the me and how I'm feeling, then it becomes too subjective. But when we actually look at the big picture, man, oh man, oh man. He actually has claimed me as his own. And that has to be the starting point, period. Right? One of the things that we talk often about is faith as remembering. When you remember what God has done, when you remember his promise of what he will do, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that for a second. But when you start remembering the things, you're like, yeah, that's right. He did do those things for me. He did make that promise to me. So like Jacob, you might be struggling by your... Your wound might have been received when you were by yourself. But I guarantee you, this morning, you are not by yourself. Ever, ever, ever. Because this is what you have. You got Jesus and his name imprinted on you. On my heart, imprint your image. And there it is. So when we wrestle with God, the bottom of page 5, our struggles with the Lord can often be regarding doubt or desire. I don't trust his way. I'm not sure his way is the way. And then desire. His way for me is not what I want. It's very interesting. I put two words, but I'm starting to think as I'm doing this study that they're actually the same. Doubt and desire. I doubt that God actually knows what I want. I don't trust his way. His way for me is not what I want. Those are the same thing. Manipulating God to get my way or my neighbor. I'm struggling with my neighbor. I'm struggling with God. Why? Is it because you don't have what you want? Or do you have what you want and God is giving you what you need, right? We talked about that first class, I think we're the second class. Because there's wrestling matches that happen in that sense too. You're not wrestling because something unexpected has happened in your life, like this. You're wrestling because you're not satisfied with the good things that you already have. So you engage in these. That comes with a doubt in your faith, for example. A doubt if you're worth anything. Doubt regarding if you trust God in the things that he's given you. And then you enter this wrestling match with him. But this was something very interesting when I was looking at this. Here's another way of looking into that exact struggle. When we do that, we have to have our arms wrapped around him and his arms wrapped around us. We're either fighting or we're not. When we struggle with God, it's either physical or it's not physical. It's like when you're upset at somebody that you don't like, and who's the person that you most think about? The person who you don't like. When you're not thinking about your loved ones, your mind is going to bad places. When we struggle with God and we don't like his plans, he doesn't leave us alone because that's who we're struggling with. He's here with me. It's a real fight. And when we wrestle with God, is it impossible to distance ourselves from him? We cling to him as we fight. He is the last one to leave the ring. As long as there's a struggle, he will keep fighting for you to have you. As long as you're struggling with God, he'll keep struggling with you. He'll never just let you walk out without him, because he'll still be here. So this is one of the icons that I found that hits on that really, really well. They almost form this circle. If you see the angel's back and Jacob's back, it's like they're one thing. It's so nice. It's so cool. He'll keep fighting for you to have you. So number 9. One of the things that Jacob had to own up to is that he was not the same person he was before. I'm struggling with God now while I'm on the way, or I'm struggling with something. But when I'm done with this struggle, I want to be the person that I was before the struggle. I want to be the person before the hardships came. That's been something that I've had to think about personally. is something unexpected happens in your life, and you work through it, but then when you've worked through it, you might have that, I wanted it to end up just like it was before the struggle or before the hardship. I want to go back to point A. And going back to point A is going back in time and walking backwards. And none of the stories today, none of the stories that we're going to read, people walk backwards. Then you might raise your hand and say, how about the Emmaus Road story? Yes, they go back the same road that they traveled on, but they don't go, that's not what I mean, and you don't understand what I'm saying. But if we're going from A to B to C to D, right? I'm just making a visual. You guys get what I'm saying very clearly. A is, things are, okay. B is like the golden age right here. Things really, they're clicking, they're moving. C is, man, that really, really hit hard and unexpectedly. Let's even put E here because that's going to help. D is, you recovered. You've learned how to work it out with your community and with Lord Jesus himself. And then you want E to look exactly like B. No. No, 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 no. Because that's going backwards. That's you wanting to be somebody you were before. And you're not. You have this limp now. You've gone through this. You've wrestled through this. And you have to raise your hand and say, yes, I did. And now I'm over here and not over there anymore. This idea of trying to fix everything, to go back to the good part, the good stages. I don't know. That's part of maturing, right? This constant. If we always want to keep going back, that's not how the scriptures talk. So Jacob realizes this, and he realizes it in two very distinct ways. One, physically, right, he's limping his whole life. And two, his name actually changes, Jacob to Israel. Admitting to himself that he is different from physically perfect, is there such thing, to limping. These battles do change us. Jacob was changed physically, spiritually, in his identity. Who are you now after you have been wounded? A limp that is spiritual, emotional, mental, and physical at times. Recognition that we are not the supreme agent, right? We've talked about that before. And the limp becomes the long, lifelong reminder. And I put limp, and you can add easily, add an S to the end of that. Because if you've lived enough, you know that it's not just one limp. Lifelong reminder, it always tells you who you are and what you've been through. A limp is not evil. A limp is not a curse. Far from it. Until we wrestle with God, we don't have to face our humanity. We don't have to face that, I actually am broken. Don't have the upper hand on God. And humility. Jacob did not leave the struggle thinking he had an upper hand. Rather, I have seen the face of God, and yet my life has been delivered. There are two ways you can think about Jacob leaving this fight. You can say, yeah, guess what? He did win because God said to him, let me go. Mercy, God is, you could say that that's what's going on in the situation. Yet, Jacob is the one that recognizes that he could have been easily killed by God. Yet my life has been delivered. I went through this and I came out whole. And that's my point today. Whole, whole, entire. It might not seem like it, but yes, you are. Something broke. Something left a wound in you. But the great healer is here to heal you, and you still might have a limp, just like Jacob. And you might still remember those wounds. But you have been made whole again. And whole again does not mean that you go back to point B. You're going forward, not backwards. What does your life look like now? That you have been delivered. So Jacob is defeated in a way, yet the God-man blesses Jacob. Jacob keeps going because he knows he is on the way. It's in the scriptures. He keeps moving because something was promised to me. That land was promised to me. Milk and honey's over there. And my father Abraham and my brother's living over there, and I have to keep going. This happened to me, but let's keep moving. He doesn't get stuck on what happened in the past. The right way. The Lord shows him the way. He knows his way is blessed. This is so good. This is Genesis 32, right before... Right before this scene, Genesis 32 begins with this phrase. Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. So he has an angelic encounter before this wrestling. It's one verse in the beginning of chapter 32. And when Jacob saw the angels, he said, "You know who's living with me? God himself." What a tremendous confession. God himself is right here living with me. Emmanuel. He is whole and he is blessed. So we too keep going. Even if we have been wounded and hurt. Because now we have courage and hope and faith and forgiveness and reconciliation. And these gifts come from the Lord, and we must take advantage of them. The sun rose up and he passed Peniel, and guess what? He was limping. But what did he do? He rose up and kept going because of his hip. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. The sun rises up and he is moving. Weeping for the night, now the sun is up. Let's get moving. Who else did that? Jesus himself. Hey, morning is coming. I got to get out of this tomb. Let's move, right? The greatest task and effort of every person's life, recognizing God and figuring out what to do with that knowledge. Now that Jesus has said, "Here I am," to you, what do you do? Wrestling and embracing God's will. You must keep going, for the road is still calling. And we're going to be done here. This is an icon, a mosaic, where you got Jacob up here and he wrestles the angel. And what this mosaic doesn't have is him continuing the journey. Right? Here he's on the journey, here's the wrestle, and he's got to keep going. This is just one part of his life, folks. This is one part of his life that, guess what, did define his life in a way, but he did not get stuck here. We got to keep going because my brother Esau is waiting to see me. There's a land waiting for me to be lived in. There are people waiting for me to move. Let's go. You can read what the fathers have said about this scene. It's very interesting. But I found this song yesterday as I was finishing things up. Take this as you will. This is not canonical. I rode my iron. I don't even listen to songs like this, so it's very funny. I ride my iron bike through flame. You get burned. The road still whispers out my name with burning heart. That's coming, burning heart. We all know where that comes from. I face the night. No turning back. I ride on bright. You can read this in the most beautiful Christian way. Your heart is burning, and let us move. Keep coming. Keep coming. Read this. This is wonderful. It's 14 little stanzas, and it's Charles Wesley describing the fight with the angel and putting you and Jesus in the story. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's a hymn he has. Next week, we are Jesus and the Paralytic, carrying your friends. It's a big responsibility on the way. Okay, let's pray and let's go. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Love you guys. Let's go to church.